She was of medium size, dressed in an evening gown, jewels glittering on her fingers. Over her face was a black mask. Red Riley felt sure that she was not a woman of his acquaintance, and he wondered what she was doing in such a place, and why she wore the mask, and why she had rescued him and the man who wore the spectacles. Riley started to gasp his thanks, but his companion was before him.
"My dear madam," he said, "I fail to find words strong enough to thank you for what you have done. We were in perilous straits. Another 5 minutes, and those wolves would have devoured us."
"Come this way, please," the woman said. She walked down the hall, and they staggered weakly after her. They came to a stairwell and went up one flight, and there the masked woman opened a door and ushered them into a room. Red Riley gasped when they entered. It was furnished lavishly and in excellent taste. There was a piano. There were books, pictures. Through an open door could be seen another room, furnished similarly. Riley rubbed at his eyes again.
"Allow me to thank you once more, madam," the voice of his companion came to him, "and allow me to introduce myself. I am Professor James Xenophon Salwick, holding the chair of physics in the university and an authority on anthropology. My young friend is known, I believe, as Red Riley. The gangsters attacked this young man in a dive in the alley, and I went to his assistance," the professor continued. "It was not from a pure motive of gallantry, however. I had an axe to grind, as the saying goes."
"Indeed."
"A few days ago, I determined to become a professional criminal. I have been searching for a pal. I believe that is the term. It came to my mind when I saw the combat begin that if I gave assistance to this young man, he would be grateful enough to combine forces with me in my endeavors."
"I'll stand by you any time, old scout," Red Riley said. "And believe me, you'll need it. That man I fought was Shifty Slade, and most of the others belonged to his gang."
"Shifty Slade?" the woman gasped. "You fought him? Oh, let me thank you for that, Mr. Riley."
"You're mighty free with my name, but I don't remember of hearing yours," Riley said, quick suspicion in his eyes.
"You may call me Madam Madcap. Many persons do."
Riley was breathing normally now, and the lust of battle had left him. He was alert again, keen, every sense on edge. Once more the careful, cunning Red Riley, who had led his gangsters to so many victories.
"Well, thanks for helping us out," he said. "And now I guess I'll slide. There's a front door to this dump, I suppose?"
"If you'll sit down for just a moment," Madam Madcap begged. "Thank you. I shall try to explain. I saw the attack in the alley and was eager to rescue you. You perhaps are mystified at my appearance, and especially the mask. I put it on before opening the door for you, because I did not know your identities, you see."
"Quite right, Madam Madcap, you did quite right," said the professor.
"Why should a Jane want to hide a face?" Riley asked.
"I wouldn't mind taking a peek at it myself."
"Perhaps you may, under certain conditions," Madam Madcap said. "For I am going to make you an offer. Mr. Riley, you are a gangster. I have heard your name often. And you, Professor Salwick, call yourself a criminal. You are eccentric, I make bold to say. But perhaps you are playing a new and deep game. At least, I suspect as much. Now, so that we may understand one another, let me say that I am a criminal myself."
"Never heard of you," Riley sneered.
"Have you ever been in Paris?" she asked.
"No."
"Possibly that explains it."
"Ah,"
the professor cried.
"I see it now. You are one of those clever continental women of whom I have read. You play the game of strategy and wit. Clever, clever woman. If there is any way in which we can serve you..."